Appreciate the good prayer, and it is a blessing to be here once again, and ask that you would continue to pray for me this morning as we continue our look in the book of Exodus. We'll be reading from Exodus chapter 14. We'll start about verse 13 this morning and go a little bit into Exodus chapter 15. And what I want us to look at this morning is the wonderful blessing of the deliverance that God gives to his people. As I was thinking about this morning, you know, we live in a time where if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves going from one state of panic to another. Have you ever found yourself in your life, living your life that way? You know, there's things in life like big things that come up that will cause disequilibrium, cause us to panic, cause us to be fearful. You know, we have from time to time those major issues that come up. But my own personal experience is that those aren't the things that take captive my heart and my mind on so many instances. It's the little things that come along. And I don't know about you, but if you're not careful, all of the little things will take your eyes off the Lord and put you in a state of panic. You go from one crisis to another. You go from one catastrophe to another. And we have a saying around my office from time to time, just the nature of what we do, there's always some sort of problem. There's always some pending disaster that's going to be happening in the scope of what I'm doing. We talk about it like being pecked to death by 1,000 ducks. So you've got the big panic things, but then you've got those day-to-day things that just peck at you. And it seems like that every day goes by, there's more and more of those things that happen in our lives till I'm guilty. I operate from panic mode more often than I would like to admit. So we've got the big things, we've got the little things, but I want us to see this morning by God's word, come what may in our lives, and let me not diminish what's happening in the book of Exodus here. This is a big thing. But I want you to see in the midst of the challenge that the children of Israel are facing here, that God is able to bless them. Now, they operate initially in the flesh from a state of panic. And that's kind of where we've left it. We left the children of Israel leaving Egypt and being pursued by the Egyptians a few weeks ago. Well, this morning, Lord willing, we're going to get them delivered. God is going to deliver them. But I want us to see from God's word that God can, in the midst of our panics, the big catastrophes in life, the being pecked to death by 1,000 duck things in life, God is able to bless us, and his grace is sufficient for wherever we find ourselves in life. So Exodus chapter 14, we'll start reading verses 13 through 15 to get started this morning. And Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Now, we left this. They were there heading towards the Red Sea. We noted geographically they were surrounded by rocky mountainous terrain on each side of them, and the only way of escape that they could perceive was behind them. And now, again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened once again, and Pharaoh and his army were pursuing after the children of Israel. And they were in a panic mode. Again, we as God's people, if we're not careful, we can find ourselves panicking because of the circumstances of our lives. Now, here's what we need to understand. When we're panicking, we lack direction. The casualty of us operating from a place of panic, a place of disequilibrium where we're just responding in the flesh, responding in emotion as to what is going on, is we lose direction. And that's what we have here with the children of Israel. Remember, this would not be the first time that they operated from a place of panic. We've seen that they would get in the flesh many times, and they would murmur to Moses. And there was one time where they went back to the officials of Egypt, went back to Pharaoh, complaining unto him. And they would do this after they're delivered through the Red Sea. They were operating from a place of fear. But God gives them some wonderful instruction through the mouth of Moses. And this is what he tells them. He says, "Fear not." And now this is interesting as I was studying this past week, and I'd never thought about this before, but you have them in this dire circumstance. And again, they're crying out because of this dangerous, this deadly situation they're in. And I like this. In the dialogue in verse 15, we have the Lord speaking to Moses. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, we read that Moses was a man of faith. He's mentioned in that faith hall of fame. But we have the Lord speaking to Moses, and the Lord says, "Why are you crying unto me? Wherefore criest thou unto me?" He says, "To speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." And this was interesting to me. Moses here is a representative for the people. Now, it wasn't Moses that was specifically crying out and complaining unto God, but the people were. And Moses was the man that God chose for to lead his people out of Egypt, lead them to the promised land. But here we have Moses as this representative for God's people. Now, Moses is a picture, an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ is our representative. And I couldn't help but think, here was Moses. He was standing there for the people. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're going to see some scripture later on. You know, he was our representative. He bore our sins. But anyway, we have the Lord speaking unto Moses, telling them to go forward. Now, again, we like to operate from a state of panic because of the big things in life and because of just the number of small things that we deal with on a daily basis. As we look at God's Word, I want us to ask the question, how can we get our eyes off of our circumstances? How can we get out of that cycle of panic and walk by faith and trust that God is able to deliver us? Well, the answer is going to sound simple, but it's a profound answer and one that's a challenge for us. And we're going to see here that the answer to the panic of our lives, big things and small things, the answer is this: it's worship. It's worshiping God. And I want to go back to that theme in the book of Exodus. That is one of the big themes throughout the book of Exodus is worshiping God, worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I want you to understand what we have here in Exodus chapter 14 and then going into Exodus chapter 15 is a call for God's people to worship Him. And what is worship? In its purest sense, what is worship? Well, it's trusting in the promises of God. It's trusting that God is going to do what He said He is going to do for us. It's the process of obedience. Worship is obedience, is it not? In the face of seemingly insurmountable obstacles, trusting that God is going to deliver us, following the leadership of the Lord, and we're going to see in Exodus chapter 15, it's also praise as well. So if you want to get, child of God, you want to get your eyes and all of your attention and all of your focus off of whatever your problem or problems may be, the answer is worship. The answer is trusting that God is going to keep His promises. That trusting Him that God, when I obey God, even though it seems like everything is just insurmountable around me, but I'm going to walk by faith. That's a blessing in the midst of difficulties and praising the Lord in the midst of the challenges. This whole section here is really about worship. We've already seen that a little bit in the book of Exodus when we see the Passover and all of that that was surrounding the Passover. We have the death of the firstborn of Egypt, but the children of Israel, their firstborn were spared because of the blood of the lamb that was put upon the doors. You talk about something that didn't make sense. They had never been asked to do something like this before. But we see they worship and they obey, and And the angel of the Lord passed over them. Some people ask, well, who was that came and there and the firstborn was slain? Well, we know that it was of the Lord. I tend to believe maybe it was the pre-incarnate Lord that came. But either way, they obeyed, and because of the blood, they were passed over. And here's worship here in Exodus chapter 14. They're going through these difficult times. They're surrounded by obstacles on the left and the right. The enemy's coming behind them. The sea is before them. The Red Sea is before them. And they are called to do something that just betrays all conventional wisdom. Go forward towards the sea. Now, let me make this statement. A lot of times you'll see, especially around Easter time, you'll see a lot of documentaries that surround the things concerning the Bible, surround, obviously, the work of Jesus Christ. But a lot of times they talk about some of these instances in the life of Moses. And you'll see a lot of these documentaries and historical programs that talk about the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, and these individuals will get on there and say, well, it really wasn't the Red Sea, but it was some offshoot of the Red Sea. It was the Reed Sea, or it was just a little bit of water that they had to walk over, like crossing a creek or something like that. No, my friends, it was the Red Sea. It was this insurmountable body of water before them, and we're going to see how great this sea was in just a minute. But they trusted God. They obeyed God, and God delivered them. Now, in Exodus chapter 14, I want us to see some keys to overcoming the panic, overcoming the being paralyzed by our circumstances here in this life. First of all, I want you to understand this truth about God. He is always going to guide His people in the right direction. Do you believe that this morning? He's going to guide His people every time, all the time, in the right direction. And He says for them to move forward. Where are they to move forward to? Into the red, towards the Red Sea. And it's clear from the Word of God, because God speaks to Moses, you tell them to go forward, move forward. Well, there's this insurmountable body of water before us. Go forward. That doesn't make any sense, God. He says to go forward. Now, I want you to understand, He calls us as the church today to go forward. To go forward in His service. To go forward in faith. And as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we never need to be going backwards. We're not called to go backwards. We're not called to regress as God's people. We should always be going forward. Now, churches can either go backwards, which isn't a good thing, or we can stay in the same place. Being stagnant is not good as well. We see that God's not pleased with that in the book of Revelation. We're called to go forward. Go forward by faith. Go forward in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trials, when it seems like every other exit around us is blocked. Go forward by faith. So He tells them to go forward towards the Red Sea. I want you to understand, what we perceive as obstacles in this world, they are nothing to God. They're opportunities for Him to manifest His power, to manifest His might, to manifest His strength. And that's what we see. He says again that they are to go forward. He is always going to guide His people in the right direction. I want you to take an assessment of your life so far. Has God ever led you astray? I've led myself astray a number of times. I've had all kinds of harebrained ideas. They have taken me down the wrong direction, the wrong path. But faithfully following God and His Word, He's always going to lead us in the right direction. It's not always, and let me say this, it's not usually the easiest direction. It's not always the smoothest of journeys. But I want to tell you, He always leads us in the right direction. But He also gives us protection as well. I want us to notice this. Verse 19, we go to Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to skip down a little bit. Verse 19, I want you to see, He leads us in the right direction. And when He does that, He always gives us the protection that we need. Verse 19, and the angel of the Lord, it says, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of pillar of the cloud that went from before their face and stood behind them. Now, you have to picture this. The children of Israel, this mass of people, millions of people moving out of Egypt, moving towards the Red Sea, God was protecting them. He had in the prayer, we had Brother Darrell mention this hedge of protection. Well, he had this hedge of protection around his people as they left Egypt, and it was he provided this cloud. Notice this. It says the angel of God, it says, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And it says the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. What he was doing, he was protecting, the Lord was protecting his people. And Egypt was coming behind them. Now notice the contrast here. The Lord is leading Israel. He's blessing them. We're going to see in just a minute. He's giving them light, but the Egyptians are obscured in these clouds and in this darkness. Verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But notice this, it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. Now, this was a big army that was pursuing them. This was a large group of people. And I just speculate, physically speaking, they weren't too far from one another. When you look at the geography and the amount of people, they weren't too far from one another. But what was God doing? God was protecting his people. He was obscuring the enemy. Now, they were mired in this cloud and in this darkness. But notice here, he gave light by night to those that were his people. I want you to understand, my friends, when God leads us in the midst of difficulties, in the midst of trials, he is going to protect us. He's going to provide for us. He's going to give us what we need in the midst of our difficulties. He gives the children of Israel light when they need it, and the enemy, they're in darkness. My friends, that's how our God works today. He can give us discernment. Has he not in your life, when you think about what you've gone through, has he not given you peace and clarity in the midst of times where it doesn't make sense that you should have such? He gives light to his people. And I want you to understand, he is still able to provide that cloud of protection and confuse our enemies, confuse and confound those that would want to do us harm. And that's what he was doing here. He obscured the vision of the Egyptians. We serve the great God that's sovereign over all. He gives them light by night, and he obscures the Egyptians by this cloud. And they see this. We see that he's leading them. It says here that the angel of God went before them. He was leading them, and they were following him according to his direction and according to his will. Understand that in the midst of our difficulties, God is with us. When we are able to have clarity in the midst of great difficulties, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of trials, in the midst of being pecked to death by 1,000 ducks, when we can have that clarity, that's a great blessing from God. When we go forward in obedience unto God, he will bless us. He will provide for us. And then as we go on, we see the protection of God in that great miracle that most of us remember from the book of Exodus. Start in verse 21. And let me tell you this. This is mainly just reading God's word. It's so clear about the power of God. Verse 21 says, and Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. This wasn't crossing some little creek in Baker County. This wasn't the Reed Sea where they could just wade knee deep off and go across. This was a sea, and it says the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night. Now, in my mind, I picture that the wind is blowing and the sea is being parted. Seas don't naturally do that in and of themselves. Some people will say, well, there was this anomaly in the weather. There was this anomaly that, that caused this to happen. Now, there's anomalies in the weather. You know, we've seen in the last several years when hurricanes are out in the Gulf, it'll drain out the bays. That's an anomaly. But water being parted and the sea going back, this was God himself working. And this verse 22, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. See, they weren't wading through the water. God, in his sovereignty, caused that sea to part, and that says that they went on dry ground. They didn't bog down. They didn't get mired in the bottom of that sea. And it says this, the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Can you imagine that? The sea parted. Now, this wasn't just some narrow pathway. Again, this was a large number of people. The sea parted, and it said it was like a wall on their right and a wall on their left. That had to be incredible. I like aquariums. We went to an aquarium in Chicago several years ago where you could walk through these hallways that were all glass, and the glass was over you, and the water and the fish were there. That scared me a little bit, to be honest. I didn't want to be the person that was under there if it cracked. But can you imagine here the wall of the sea? And how did that happen? Well, as Israel is singing their song of praise unto God in the next chapter, I want you to see this, because this is incredible to think about. We think about that miracle, and I think we isolate it from the work and the capacity of our God. But notice Exodus chapter 15 and verse 8. Here's how it happened as they sang this song of praise unto God. Verse 8 in Exodus chapter 15, here's how it happened. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. Yeah, you think about that. Some of you are in the engineering field, and to move a body of water is one of the most difficult feats of engineering. If you have to build a bridge, or you have to build a tunnel, or you have to put utilities and water, it's an incredible feat to move water because of just the pressure of water. We've seen that in the media in the last few years, how strong the pressure of water is and how dangerous it is. And it's an undertaking to move just a little bit of water, to divert water, to work on a dam, or to lay down underground utilities or pour footings for a bridge or whatever. Here is how much labor God had to give for this to happen. Pay attention now. That's it. I don't want to do that too much. I have a little bit of a cold this morning. But it was just basically, boom, and God parted the waters. It says here, and I don't know how all that exactly worked out, but the children of Israel said it was a blast of his nostrils. He just snorted, and these waters parted. That's the powerful God that we serve. It says that with the blast of the nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as a heap, and the depths, it says, were congealed in the heart of the sea. This word congealed, that's one of those words that kind of just makes my skin crawl. Congealed. I think of back when I was a kid, my grandmother used to make congealed salads. She had a whole cookbook of congealed salads. What does congealed mean? Well, it means to gel or to be molded together. For her salad to congeal, it had to go in the refrigerator. It didn't congeal on the countertop. Now, this talks about just God and his power. It says here that these depths, they were congealed in the heart of the sea. Now, what did that look like? Walls of water congealed. I mean, it could be a couple of things, but was it just the water was just standing there on its sides? And I wonder, walking through that, could you see the fish swimming around in there? Or were they like the peaches in my grandmother's congealed salad, just frozen in there? I don't know. That's just the way my weird mind works. But whatever it is, you know, just a breath from God, and you have this incredible miracle. And the miracle in and of itself is just awesome and amazing to think about. But this was the deliverance of God's people. It was no harder for him than just a breath for his people to be delivered. That's unbelievable from our perspective. But nothing is too hard for God. It's amazing to think about. He brings protection. And as I said several minutes ago, as we look on, we also see not only does he bring protection to his people, not only as a child of God does he lead us in the right direction, he's going to see through his promises to his people. Isn't that a wonderful blessing? He will get you to where he wants you to be. I want you to understand that. You see, what do you mean by that? I want you to understand eternally, the work has been done. He's going to get us to where we are supposed to be at his people. That's about the simplest way I can put that. We're going to be in heaven some sweet day because of his sovereign power, because he is going to accomplish what he set forth to do for his people. And we have that example here in the book of Exodus. He will get you where he wants you to be. I thought about this. Hebrews chapter 1, wonderful chapter, starts out speaking about the power of God. Notice what the Apostle Paul, Hebrews chapter 1, he says in verse 3, he says this, speaking of our Lord, he says, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and notice this, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. When we talk about the seas being congealed, we see this sea being parted. It was upheld by the sovereign power of God. Well, here we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have something far more incredible here. It says here, he's upholding all things by the word of his power. You know, this world is still spinning. Our planet is still in just the right place. All of the other planets are just in the right place because it's upheld by the word of his power. My friends, my heart is still beating this morning and I'm still taking in oxygen because of the word of his power. That's the God that we serve. The word upholding means not only holding something up, but I want you to understand this word means to hold up and to carry something to its final conclusion. This world, no matter how weird and how bizarre things may seem in our world, our God is upholding it by the word of his power. That's the God that we serve. And here's the good news. Come what may here in this world, he's going to get us where he intends for us to be. He's going to take us as God's children and deliver us, and we're going to be delivered to the foot of the throne of the Almighty God. The one who parted the Red Sea is the one who is going to take us home some sweet day. It's a wonderful blessing. Going back to the book of Exodus, notice verse 24. As we continue along, the children of Israel, we're going through it fast. They are crossing the Red Sea. Their feet aren't getting muddy. The ground is dry before them. The walls of water on each side, the fish doing whatever they're doing in there. Verse 24, it says, it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians. Now, picture in your mind, if you will, the children of Israel, they're crossing the Red Sea. Again, the Egyptians, I don't think they were that far behind them. This cloud was obscuring them. And now we have the children of Israel getting to the other side. And notice what it says here about the Lord. It says, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and through the cloud. What was obscuring the Egyptians was no problem at all for the Lord, was it? He was looking, it says he was looking through the pillar of fire, and he was looking through the clouds. There's some good news there. Nothing can obscure the vision of God. He can see through anything. That's why, you know, sometimes people will kind of wave off unspoken prayer requests. You know, and don't ever do that. You know, in the past, I was of the mindset, well, folks do need to share what's going on. But no, some things aren't judicious to share with other people. But it's okay to say, I've got an unspoken prayer request. And if I'm being honest with myself, it's probably more my nosiness than anything else wanting to know. But God knows what the need is. He saw through the cloud what was obscuring and confusing the Egyptians. He saw through that. You know, he was the one that was bringing the confusion to the Egyptians, because read on. He looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and in the cloud and from the cloud, and it says he troubled the host of the Egyptians. He was confusing them. Our God will bring confusion to our enemies. Understand that. He is the one that's in control. He is the one that, you know, that is going to have ultimate victory. Don't buy into the idea that our eternity is still in question today. Don't buy into the Star Wars theology that says that there's this battle between the forces of good and the forces of evil, and we're not sure how it's going to turn out. We know how it's going to turn out because we serve the sovereign God over all. Verse 15, and it says, he says, they took off their chariot wheels, and it says they drave them heavily. So the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. What was going on here? It says here that he troubled the host of the Egyptians. What was happening is they were pursuing the children of Israel through the Red Sea. They were confused. They didn't know what was going on. I can picture this. And this was the greatest army of that time. They were being led by seasoned veterans of the Egyptian army. They were being confused to the point where they were either getting stuck. This says here that they were taking off their chariot wheels and driving them in the ground. They were in the midst of that sea. I don't think that they understood that they were in the midst of the sea. It was obscured, but they started taking a defensive position right in the middle of that sea. But they knew something was not right. And I like this. This is, to me, it's kind of humorous. It's not really funny, but I can't help but chuckle. Those Egyptians that were there, what did they start doing? Well, they started speaking in the third person, which is odd. Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. These military men that were here, they were saying, the Lord's fighting against the Egyptians. Well, why did they speak in the third person? Well, I think at that point in time, they didn't want to be Egyptians. Because they were confused, they were troubled, and they saw that God, and it speaks it here, that they saw that God, the Lord, was fighting for the children of Israel. We go on. And Lord said unto Moses, verse 26, stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared and the Egyptians fled against it, it says the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Our Lord's will be done. Verse 28, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And all the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. What an incredible account of the deliverance of God. This is amazing how God brought his people through the Red Sea and on the other side and drowned Pharaoh and his army. You may ask the question, well, why would God do that to the Egyptians? Well, understand, the Word of God teaches us that God doesn't take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The book of Ezekiel says that. But what we have here, there was an enemy to God's people that God's people had to see. This was going to be an enemy no more. God's deliverance was a total, complete deliverance. They no longer troubled the children of Israel. Pharaoh and his army, they were wiped out. The enemy was defeated and they were no more. And I can't help but think about the children of Israel on the other side of that Red Sea seeing this happen and seeing this carnage. Their parents and their grandparents had been under the bondage of the Egyptians, but they no longer had to worry about Egypt. God delivered them. I want you to understand that from our perspective, that is the truth and the wonderful blessing that we have concerning sin. We need to understand that sin is something that has been defeated by what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Now, we still struggle with our sin in this flesh, but I want you to understand that's what Jesus did for us on the cross. The book of Exodus, again, one of the themes is deliverance for God's people. He delivered, we see that right here on the pages of Scripture, He delivered them from the hand of the Egyptians and destroyed the Egyptians that were pursuing them. We have been delivered today as God's people from the bondage of sin, from the power of sin, from the penalty of sin, and it's because of what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. I want to remind you of this truth. Paul writes, he says, and this is us as God's people. The children of Israel needed to see that Egypt was destroyed and would no longer be a problem for them. That was God's promise to them, promise fulfilled. Well, the promise for us is that we, as God's children, would not die eternally in our sins. Promise fulfilled. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What's that mean for us? That sin has been killed. Sin was defeated on Calvary's cross. No longer are we under the penalty of sin. No longer are we condemned to an eternal hell because of our sins. Jesus Christ bore them on the cross. No longer are we dominated by the power of sin. We still sin because we have this sinful flesh, but for a child of God that's born again, the Spirit is now what dominates. Sin has been put to death because of our deliverer, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8, as you go on down in verse 33, Paul would write this. He says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's a good question. It's a question that a lot of people ponder and don't get right today. Some people think, well, Jesus and his work on the cross, that was a good start, but it's up to you to get the job finished, or he cast a vote for you and you've got to cast the deciding vote. No, it is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Egypt was done away with as far as their threat to the children of Israel when that Red Sea closed in on them. My friends, we have a far greater deliverance from sin from what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. It says here, not only are we conquerors, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. My friends, sin does not win. Jesus Christ on the cross won the victory for delivering us from our sinful state, delivering us from condemnation into heaven's bright glory. What a wonderful blessing that is. That's the Lord that we serve. Oh, I think of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 10. The Lord was blessing his disciples to go out and preach the gospel to those that were amongst them. And they were blessed and they were performing miracles. And in Luke chapter 10, it says the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And Jesus said this, he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What does that mean? Satan is a defeated enemy. Jesus was speaking about his coming demise, but now he has been defeated. Yes, he's still here. He's still walking to and fro on this earth, but rest assured, he is a defeated enemy. We need to hear that. Israel needed to see the defeat of their enemy. We need to be reminded of the defeat of our enemy, that enemy being sin and Satan. We are no longer in bondage or slavery to sin. What a wonderful blessing. Praise the Lord for that glorious truth. Now think about this. I pondered this morning on my morning walk. There were a lot of different Hebrews that crossed that Red Sea, weren't there? You think about that. You get a crowd of people together, you're going to get just about every type of person that you can imagine. Now you picture walking there, and you can put yourself in whatever category you choose to put yourself in, but they were people. Now there were some of those people that were probably people that were very, very, very faithful people. People of great faith. Yes, the Lord has said he's going to deliver us. Yes, I've been waiting for him to deliver. Now's the time, let's go. But I bet there were some other people as well, you know, young people perhaps, people that weren't as far along in their faith walk that were like, I really don't know about all this. You know, my instincts tell me that I don't need to be walking through this water here. It might have been like me in the aquarium. This thing might collapse on me. There were probably some people that were just looking around, oh, look at the fish, look at the sharks. You know, people just, whatever's going on. And there may have been some folks that really didn't have a clue. They were just following along because their parents or somebody else said, come on along, we're going to do this. There were those folks that were distracted. There were folks that were terrified. There were folks that were clueless, but I want you to understand, all of them passed through, didn't they? God blessed and God delivered them all. And I want you to understand this about salvation. Some of us are clueless. Some of us are terrified. Some of us are distracted. Some of us have backslidden. But I want you to understand, it wasn't how much faith Israel had as far as crossing the Red Sea. It wasn't the quantity of their faith. It wasn't the quality of their faith. It was his faith that delivered them. And that's what delivers us as God's people today. Whose faith delivers us? Oh, not mine. My faith is weak. My faith falters. But it's his faith, the one that defeated death, hell, and the grave on the cross. And hey, they were delivered. The Gomer piles of the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. Just fill in the blanks. You can put yourself wherever you feel comfortable. Don't put your neighbor in any kind of category. The ones who didn't have a lot of faith, I would have been skeptical myself. That's just my nature. I could have been the one that was distracted. Wow, there's a shark swimming over there. All of them went dry shod across the sea. God delivered them all. Now, is God not able to deliver all his people today? If we're honest with ourselves, I'm clueless sometimes. I'm distracted. I'm terrified. I let the pecking of 1,000 ducks get me into a state of panic. We've all been delivered. And what do they do when they get to the other side? We've got a few minutes in chapter 15. I didn't get near as far as I wanted to. What do? They sung a song. They sung a song of praise unto God. Like I said, this is really about worship. Obedience. Trusting that God will deliver. Trusting that God will protect his people. Trusting that God will see through the promises that he's made to his people. What do? They sing a song. Let's just read the first verse of Exodus chapter 15. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And then we have chapter 15 that is this song that they break out into singing about God's deliverance. This is the first song recorded in the Bible. Interestingly enough, the last song is in Revelation chapter 15. Again, this parallel. What we see here in the book of Exodus is a picture of what has been done for us eternally. The last song in the book, Word of God, Revelation chapter 15. It goes this way in verse 1. And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the name of his throne stand on the sea of glass having harps of gold. And they, notice this, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. What in Revelation chapter 15, this wonderful picture of eternal deliverance of God's people, they were singing the song of Moses. What was the song of Moses? A song of deliverance. My friends, we come together and we sing this morning, but not because we have such great voices. We have some wonderful folks that can sing, but the great voices, that's just a cherry on top. We sing because we've been delivered. In the Old Testament, it was the crossing of the Red Sea. In the book of Revelation, you have this crystal sea now that speaks of eternal glory and the peace and joy that awaits us at the foot of the Lord in heaven, on heaven's bright shores. You have in the book of Exodus, you have this triumph over Egypt, which is a picture of sin and this sinful world that we live in. In the book of Revelation, you have the triumph over Babylon, which is a picture of this wicked world system that comprises so much of what's around us. Both were defeated. Both were triumphed over by the power of God. You have in the book of Exodus, God bringing them out of Egypt. Now in the book of Revelation, you have Him bringing them into His presence. What a wonderful blessing. On in Revelation, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. If we can keep that perspective, my friends, we can move out of that state of panic in our lives, responding based off of panic, which brings aimlessness and directionless and bad choices, and choices that are based off of emotion rather than truth. When we can see God for who He is, the God of glory, the one that's only holy, and the one that rules over all the nations, we can shift from a place of panic to a place of praise. I pray as God's people that our lives would be comprised of worshiping the one who will lead us in the right direction, who will protect us along the way in our lives, and who will fulfill what He has said He will do for His people. We serve such a mighty God. What a wonderful God that we serve. I want to take a minute and publish an open door this morning. That's our hope. That's my hope. I hope that's your hope as well. And that's really the only hope that we have in this world. Everything else will ultimately leave us frustrated, leave us in that state of disequilibrium, leave us into a place where we're responding out of panic. But we have the wonderful rock, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's delivered us. Let's turn to song number 343.